Thanks for listening to the Star Sport Podcast, number one for sport in West Cork.
Close your eyes and pull like a dog.
And a new Irish record for Phil Healy, 22.99.
Christy Cooney hands over the Sam Maguire Cup to Graham Canty, Cork All-Ireland champions for the seventh time ever.
Hello and welcome to episode 36 of the Star Sport Podcast, where we're going on tour. We're coming to you from West Cork Kickboxing Club's headquarters here in Skibbereen. A very busy gym tonight ahead of the WACO World Senior Kickboxing Championships in Sarajevo next week, where three members of West Cork Kickboxing Club will be in action representing Ireland. There's Lily Delacour from Bantry, Tony Stevenson from Bantry, and Greg Sheehan from Douglas. I think everyone now knows the story of Lily Delacour, but if they don't, this is a lady who's won everything there is to win when it comes to kickboxing. At junior and senior level, she's won European and World Gold. She has won everything there is to win. In 2015, she was crowned the best in the world in her weight category. 2 years ago, she won silver at the WACO World Championships, and she's gunning for gold at these Worlds in Sarajevo next week. So we caught up with Lily for her thoughts ahead of the big tournament. Lily, I'm just after watching you here, and I'm tired from watching that training session. Kind of, how often a week would you train?
At the moment, we're training 5-6 days a week, kind of tapering it down just a tiny bit now, because we're 3 weeks out from our main tournament of the year. Yeah. But yeah, 6 days a week would be our usual, yeah.
And is it usually 1 hour a night, or how often do you go?
It kind of depends what we're doing. So like if we have a sparring session, for example, that could go on for 2 hours, you know, because you're kind of coming in and out of the ring. If it's a conditioning session, an hour. Pad work, like you saw there, an hour. So it just depends, again, on the time of year. I'm starting to cut it down to about kind of 45, 50 minutes of just really fast work at the moment.
With the Senior World Championships, the WACO Senior World Championships on in Sarajevo starting the 19th, you're well used to the World Championships. You've had the kind of the glory of gold 2015. You just was, you won silver in 2017, but almost the agony of silver kind of.
Yeah.
So you've had ups and downs there. Kind of, what have been your main memories from the Worlds over the years?
Yeah, I suppose my biggest memory is 2015, winning the Senior World title. I suppose that was always my dream. To win that, I suppose it's the pinnacle of our sport. And then, as you said, I went on 2 years later to get the silver, and that was devastating at the time.
Yeah.
I kind of got over it, took a long time to get over it. But yeah, 2015 was definitely my highlight. But yeah, geez, we go away every 2 years. We're lucky enough to qualify most years. And just the people you meet and the competition we get and the support that's behind us, it's all really good.
How was the form so far this year? How have the competitions going for you?
Good, yeah, not too bad. So I've been to, I suppose, two major internationals already. Mm-hmm. One in March in Ireland, actually, and the other one was in Hungary in May, and they both went really well. Mm-hmm. So yeah, so far so good. If we can just keep injuries off now for the next few weeks, we'll be rocking.
Heading to the world, so what's the target? I know, so, like, you've won everything there is to win, and if our listeners haven't, they don't know Lily too well, between junior and world at European and world, junior and senior at junior and senior at world and European level, you've won everything there is to win. So kind of, it always kind of amazes me with you, your motivation to keep coming back year after year after year. Kind of, what is that motivation? What is the...
I don't know. Well, I suppose I've lost as well. Do you know what I mean? Like, as you said, 2 years ago, I lost the final of the World Championships. Mm-hmm. Those kind of things definitely keep me going. Yeah. I think I learned the most from losing competitions. I think any sports person will tell you that. But what keeps me motivated mainly, I think, is Ian, my coach. I suppose we go about our business every year. It's just part of our lifestyle. So it's not really a question of, are we going to do it? It's when are we starting?
Yeah.
And the guys that I train with as well. Like, we've such a fantastic club, such a really, really strong junior team again this year. And the other two guys on the senior team with me, they're really great people. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of my social outlet as well. So I love it.
When you head into these worlds now, is gold the target? Like, would you be kind of confident? Well, you are confident enough, but like, you set gold as a target. That's what you want to come home with.
Yeah, I suppose for me, as Ian says, if we perform well, that's all we can really do. Mm-hmm. And I know that sounds a bit kind of cliche, but I try and think that way as well, because I suppose if I think of, oh, I want to win gold, it kind of, I stop thinking about the first step, which is the first fight. Mm-hmm. And our sport's similar to others. If we don't win our first competition, we're knocked out.
Yeah.
So for me, it's just go over, try and win my first fight, mm-hmm. and try and compete as best I can. And if that gets me to the next round, fantastic. Then if that gets me to a medal, fantastic. And then obviously trying to change the colour of it. I would love to win gold medal. Mm-hmm. That's definitely the main goal. But if I compete really well, we'll see what happens.
Can you explain the kind of break down the actual the championships for me? Like, is it round by round by round? Like, how many would be in your yeah. category?
It depends year on yeah. year. So in my division, I usually have between kind of 13 and 16 people in my division. Again, you have to qualify to represent your country. So you're talking the best, maybe 16 to 20 fighters yeah. in the world, really, in your weight class. And the way it works is I'm the lightest weight division in, for females, minus 50, and it goes up in fives. So minus 50, minus 55, yeah. minus 60, etc. And the lads are pretty similar, but they start at minus 57, 63, 69, etc. Mm-hmm. So that's the way it works.
Staying, so you are 50 kgs or under. So
yes.
I presume coming up to kind of the fight week itself, you kind of bring yourself kind of down to weight. Like, would you be hopping around 52, 53 normally, yeah. or how does it work? Or?
Yeah, everyone is really different. Yeah. And for me, it varies year on year. So I suppose this year I spent loads of time conditioning training during the summer.
Yeah.
And I actually got, I suppose, strong. Mm-hmm. And as you know, like, your muscle weighs a bit more than your fat. So I was pretty lean, but I was pretty heavy compared to usual. So this year I've had a good few kilos mm-hmm. to try and cut down. But I do it in a really safe way. Yeah. I work with a nutritionist here mm-hmm. in Skibbereen, Magella O'Neill. She's fantastic. And yeah, just bit by bit, kilo by kilo. The last few weeks now are a bit tough, just trying to get down to weight, but we'll get there.
And when you are trying to cut weight, like, how hard is it? Is it difficult? Like, mm-hmm. you know, like you said, you're working with a nutritionist, so is it kind of mixing your diet with exercise, or how?
Yeah, everyone's different. Yeah. Again, some people like to do a bit of the, I suppose, cutting their water down and things like that near the end of the tournament. I don't. I like to stay hydrated. So for me, yeah, it's just cutting down the bulk of the food that I'm eating. I tend to do this keto diet that's yeah. going around the place at the moment, which sounds counterproductive because you eat a lot of fat, but you don't eat carbs, kind of idea. So yeah, it's a mixture of food and a lot of HIIT training and things like that.
You mentioned Ian Kingston there, obviously. Ian Kingston, West Cork Kickboxing Club, like, kind of, he's the main man for countless years. And I just watched you kind of kick 10 shades of green out of him there for the last,
I don't know,
45, 50 minutes. Like, yeah. he's an incredible man, isn't he? What that man has done for West Cork kickboxing and even Irish kickboxing, like, and,
yeah.
and his motivation to keep coming back, and he's training so many, like, he's an incredible man.
Absolutely. Ian's my biggest role model in the sport and in life as well, alongside my parents. He's been training for over 30 years, the majority of it self-taught. He went all around the country kind of learning his trade, you know, before starting up the club here. And yet, year in, year out, he's phenomenal. He's so motivated. He's so selfless. Like, it's all about our betterment and helping us reach our goals. He's the worst businessman you'll ever find. It's all about getting us through the tournaments. So yeah, he's phenomenal. And he's such a great person. You can sit down and have a coffee with him, talk to him about anything. And I see him more than I've probably seen my family during the summertime, so that will tell you how much time we kind of spend together.
And as well as the health benefits with kickboxing, like, you know, it's the mental benefits as well, yeah. you know, kind of, it's just a great sport to be involved in, even in terms of discipline, confidence and so on, like, kind of, it's just a brilliant sport.
Yeah, absolutely. I suppose there's something in it for everyone. And you do have to mingle with people, so mm-hmm. there's that bit of, I suppose, socialisation. You get the bit of confidence, I suppose, because you're getting fit and,
yeah.
you know, and that side of things. And then we're kind of forced out of our comfort zones on occasion, be it inspiring or if you're performing a kata or going for your belts or whatever. So the kids especially, it's amazing to see them come on, and as you said, they learn discipline and self-control and how to treat one another in a respectful way. So there's countless benefits to the sport.
I have to ask, how do you juggle training with work? Because you're a teacher in the crew, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, so kind of, that's probably what, 9 to 4 every day?
Yeah.
And then back home and stuff and training, like, it's
yeah.
kind of pretty full on.
It's hard going. As you said, like, I live in Bantry, I teach in Macroom. That's my choice to have that distance,
yeah.
Because I love training here in the club. It's one of the main reasons I didn't move. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you know, getting up early in the morning to do your bit of training, going to work, coming home. Like today now, for example, when I came home from work, I'd eat straight away. You know, there was no sitting down, eat a bit of food.
Yeah.
I usually go for a sleep for around 30 minutes before I come into Ian, especially when I'm cutting a bit of weight. Come in, do my training with Ian, talk to you guys. I must go and spend my evening in the sauna now before I go home. Do a bit of correcting and go to sleep. And you do that for many months. But I'm lucky because I have my summer off, and that's when I do a lot of my training, so I can't complain. I'm really lucky that way.
But like, and you told me before, Lily, like, you love this sport, like, you
yeah.
know, kind of, you never ever complain. You do the sport because you love it, kind of. Yeah. You're still as much in love with the sport now with kickboxing you are when you started, when you were 8,
yeah.
9, you know, kind of.
Yeah, yeah, I started when I was 7, so a long time ago, and I still love it. It's about the people, you mm-hmm. know. As I said, there's been years where, yeah, we've kind of had to push through a small bit, but this year I've really, really enjoyed it because of the junior team that I trained with this year. They were great fun.
Yeah.
And, you know, seeing them so motivated, it reminds me of myself when I was, you know, 14, 15 or whatever. So Yeah, no, look, it's great. It's great. I don't know how long I'll compete for, but at the moment I'm loving it, so we'll keep going.
Is that almost a natural transition for you as well, kind of? Like, you're still actively competing, but you're coaching now as well, you know? And how much enjoyment do you get out of the coaching?
Yeah, I'm not going to lie, I don't do much coaching in the kickboxing side of it. I coach a bit of football at school, and I teach PE, so I'm kind of in that zone. But here, I kind of like doing the kickboxing just for myself. As selfish as that sounds, I'm not huge into the coaching side of it. Mm-hmm. I do like teaching the smallies now and again, you know, if Ian needs a bit of help and doing the grading. But for the most part, the juniors kick me around the place. You know what I mean? They're coaching me just as much as I'm coaching them.
It's worth pointing out too that the World Championships are on in Sarajevo.
Yeah.
And it's not cheap to travel out there and for accommodation and so on. In terms of funding, would it be right to say it's mostly self-funded by the athletes, you know?
Absolutely. We're the same as other sports in that I suppose we get a small bit of funding from the Irish Sports Council, but because we're such a minority sport, by the time it gets to the athletes, it doesn't get to the athletes. we don't get any funding. So it's all self-funded. We kind of have to go about finding our own sponsors as individuals that will help us out. Our juniors have a few sponsors that have come together to, you know, pool a small bit of money together for them. But for us, for the seniors, now you're talking nearly €1,000 for this one competition alone. So I'm very lucky. I have Bantry Bath and Tile sponsoring me this year. A friend of mine there, he sponsored me for the last 2 years. But, you know, the guys, it's a struggle every year trying to find people to kind of back us. If there's anyone out there who's interested, we'd be delighted.
So now Echo Lily's call, any local business out there wanting to get behind good local athletes, talented local athletes, please get in touch. Lily, thank you so much for giving us your time. Best of luck in Sarajevo.
Thank you very much. Cheers.
Thanks for listening to the Star Sport podcast, the only podcast dedicated to all things sport in West Cork. Don't forget to pick up this Thursday's Southern Star newspaper, including our award-winning sports section with everything a West Cork sports fan could want, in shops across West Cork and online from anywhere in the world via www.southernstar.ie/epaper. The Southern Star and the Star Sport Podcast, #1 for sport in West Cork.
Welcome back to the Star Sport Podcast. We're still here at the West Cork Kickboxing Club gym in Skibbereen, and I'm delighted to announce I've not been kicked or punched once yet, but the night is young. Now we're going to catch up with two more members of the club who will be representing Ireland at the World Championships. That's Tony Stevenson and Greg Sheehan. Tony Stevenson has been kickboxing for the last 20 odd years. He's a native of Bantry, and he's regularly been competing at world and European level, while Greg Sheehan is an interesting one. Greg is actually from Douglas, and he travels up and down to West Cork Kickboxing Club every week just to train with the members here and to train with the coach Ian Kingston. So here's what Tony and Greg have to say ahead of the big competition. I'm going to start with you, Greg. You're from Douglas, and you make this trip up and down to Skibbereen a couple of times a week. Can you tell us first how come you're coming down to West Cork Kickboxing Club, and how often you come down and bits and pieces like that?
Well, I'll go back to when I first started. I first began in Taekwondo, so I've been doing Taekwondo for the past 14 years or something like that, 13, 14 years. And like this kind of fad started happening with the Taekwondo guys. They started kind of experimenting with kickboxing as well, because I think that they thought that the rule set was very similar, as in you only kick, you punch, you know, and that's kind of the same with the Taekwondo. So a couple of my friends joined the kickboxing, and a few of them were very successful in it. Back in 2015, you weren't here for that, for the World Championships.
I was away in England.
So the World Championships, the Senior World Championships, was in Ireland in 2015. And I had a couple of friends competing in it. One of my friends, Ryan Shelley, he's gone on to do MMA now, but he won it in his section, and he originally started in Taekwondo as well. So at this stage, I never did any kickboxing training or whatever, but I was always fascinated by it. I always wanted to kind of experiment with it. I always wanted to train in it, you know, just to give my training something different, you know. You always see kind of like athletes going in and out of different sports, trying to take things from different sports, you know. So I asked Ryan that weekend, like that exact weekend, it was actually on in City West, and I asked him in City West, I said, do you recommend any kickboxing club or kickboxing coach or whatever? He said, I'll be right back to you. He came back about 10 minutes later, and Ian Kingston was next to him. Ian is the national coach this year, but he was also the national coach that specific year as well. So he came back with Ian, and Ian sat down with me, and the first thing, I think, like anyone who speaks to Ian, I think the first thing they'd realise about him would be, oh, he's a gentleman, you know, he's very courteous, he's very obliging, he's very mannerly. So I was speaking to him, and I really got a good vibe from him, and I took my friend's word. Ryan said he's one of the best coaches, not only in the country, but in the world. So I asked Ian where the gym was. He said Bantry. I wasn't driving at the time, so I said Bantry, fine. So I came down for a couple of sessions, and I was completely blown away by the training. And ever since, that was almost 5 years ago now, ever since I've just been coming down here, I fell in love with it. The gym is amazing. The atmosphere, which I think is very, I think people here not take for granted, but they don't realise how, like, that doesn't come in every gym. Like, the atmosphere, everyone works hard, everyone like tries their best, everyone gives it 110% each training session, and that isn't really that common. You think it would be, especially amongst the high level gyms, but it's not really that common. And that's all down to Ian. Ian is an incredibly intelligent coach. He dedicates his life to it, so it's just a perfect mix. It's just, you know, this is where I feel like I would improve, you know, and I have because of it.
Tony, you're in a good position to kind of talk about Ian Kingston as well. Like, what this man has done for kickboxing, it's very hard to put into words. Kind of, what do you think makes him so special?
I think he just has whoever he's working with, whether it be the kids on his first day or it be you know, an athlete who's been training with him for many, many years, he has their best interests at heart. And like Greg said, he's very intelligent with the structure of their training, and he really does think through what's best, and he helps you really understand where you need to go and where you need to improve. I've had Ian training. I've been training with Ian since I was just six, so I'm now nearly 28. So I've been training with Ian a very, very long time. I've had Ian in my corner, and I've had fights where Ian hasn't been in my corner, and there's a big difference, especially the first few times I've had him not be there. But Ian, when I've known someone for so long who knows me inside and out, back to front, he knows the way I think, he knows how to motivate me, he knows how to get the best out of me, basically. And I think that's just from being years and years and years at it. He's been doing it for so long, and a lot of the good things he's picked up is from just other people going abroad, attending seminars, and bringing it home, testing it, tweaking it, seeing if it works best for his guys, and just going by that route.
You kind of said there about having Ian in your corner is so beneficial. The fact that he will travel with you, like, he's a national coach again this year, isn't he?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And the fact that he's going to travel with you to Sarajevo and you have him in the corner, how much of a help would that be for the championships?
Oh, crazy, crazy, man. It's so good to have. Like, it's a big stress reliever having Ian over there, because, like you said, he's training with us tonight. He's training with us all summer.
Yeah,
really, he's put an awful lot of his life on hold for us, and we really, really appreciate it. So, like, having training with Ian every day for so long and having him there, it's a really nice, it's not like we're going over there and working with someone we don't know. We're working with someone who really knows us really well.
And he's your first senior worlds, Greg.
Yeah, so I've competed, like, as I said, I was involved in the Taekwondo as well. Yeah. I am currently involved in Taekwondo. I have the European and World Championships this year in the Taekwondo. I've competed on world stages, European stage in Taekwondo, but in the kickboxing, this is my first world championships, or any championships with the national team. You know, I was delighted. I worked hard. Again, it was just having faith in the club, faith in the coach. I told Ian this months upon months ago that I wanted to make a good go at the national team this year. I was unsuccessful last year, but this year I was successful, you know. And so
what are you most looking forward to so about the senior worlds coming up?
Not having a restricted diet at the end of it, I suppose. I think it's mostly what I'm looking forward to most is just getting out there on the mats, you know, because, like, you think about these, like, if you're training for world championships, you're driving down, you're thinking about the world championships, you're driving from training, you're thinking about it, you go to sleep, you're thinking about it. But I think once you're actually there in the ring, you're not as nervous, you're not as stressed out. Every week, month leading up to it. So I am excited just kind of getting out there and seeing, testing myself against the world's top athletes. Yeah.
Tony, you're a man well used to kind of the big championships. You've won gold at European and world level since years and years, you know. looking forward to this year's World Championships, kind of, and I asked Lily this as well, how do you stay motivated? You know, kind of, you've won a lot in this sport, you know, kind of a bronze medal from the Worlds 2 years ago. How do you stay motivated?
I think it's like here, the atmosphere is really good. It's a really good place to be and unwind at the end of the day. It's hard to like think about what you're going to do tomorrow or what's gone on before or whatever you might be thinking of day to day when there's someone kind of punching you in the face. But no, I just find it's a really good way to like really blow out, work some pads, work on something that I really enjoy. It feels more weird if I stop training. That's the thing. Like if I go cold turkey on training because of an injury and I can't do anything, it feels more weird to not do anything. So that's it. But motivation wise, I just love seeing the best athletes out there and trying to emulate them and take what a little bit of what they have and then put it into practice myself.
Let's look at the kind of specifics of the competition. So, and even the weight categories. Greg, you're competing at 74 kgs, is it?
Yeah, 74 kilos, yeah.
So just explain to listeners. So you have to be 74 or under, is it?
Yeah, so it would be the same as any other fighting sport. It would be the same as, like, let's say, boxing, MMA. I think they work on pounds, don't they? They work on...
Like, oh, in really the working. In the well, in the States, a lot of them do, yeah, on pounds. Yeah. I think a lot of the European... kg.
Yeah, so we work under kgs.
Yeah.
So let's say there's multiple weight sections. So let's say if you fight senior male kickboxing, you have to pick a weight, what weight you are. So I'm fighting for 74 kilos and under. Tony's fighting 69 kilos and under. So that would be the next weight section below me. I have to be under 74 kilos, but also above 69 kilos, if you know what I mean. So we weigh in prior to fighting and we have to be 74 kilos on the button, you know.
But would you explain as well the different types of kickboxing, because you're going to see that there's a low kick, continuous kick, there's certain types, and what is the difference between them and which one do you kind of specialise in?
So we do continuous kickboxing, yeah. So that's on the mats. It's like it's full contact to the body. I'm pretty sure contact to the head has to be light. Like, for example, now, you can hit someone hard with technique with snap because you have to have speed in the technique. But if I wind my hand back to do this big clobbering motion, I think the referees then pull you up on it. So it is a contact sport, and like there are like people that kind of get slightly injured, but it's at a really high level. Like, everyone there is like looking out for you. There's medics and doctors and, you know, there's coaches. So we do the continuous. So it's non-stop. So you keep going. The referee lets the fight go on. There's also point sparring, which is stop-start. It's first person to make contact scores, so that's from a kick or a punch. The centre referee will say stop, he will award a score, and so you can see the scores tally on either side. There's kick light, which is same thing as what we do, except you can kick to the legs. There's also full contact, which is in the ring, so that's what we do, but just in the ring. And it's full contact all around, head and body, legs and boxing. And then there's K1 as well, and then there's low kick, which are essentially the same thing, except in K1 you're allowed to move. So there's also musical forms as well, which is like a demonstration. So it's like an athlete would go onto the mats. To music, they would then demonstrate a sequence and series of moves and techniques all strung together like a performance, like a gymnastic routine, you know?
We kind of were just chatting kind of off-air there, Tony, and we said about kickboxing. Would it be great to make it an Olympic sport? You know, kind of, I know it moves it in the past, but it does look like it's happening at the moment. But it's such a brilliant sport. Would it be great to see martial art like this in the...
It would, and it will. It will have its day. It probably won't be in my fighting time, like time in my career. It might be... I think I remember hearing Roy Baker, who is now the president of WACO, saying, I think to me, the earliest it could ever be is 2028, and even that is doubtful. So it will have its day, but it has to go through so many hurdles, and it has to tick so many boxes for the IOC, so that's the basically the Olympic Committee. Right now, it's got... first time ever since last year Olympic recognition, which is huge. Like, it's huge. So like,
it's under radar, so such as
it is, yeah. It's, yeah, one of like the almost like satellite sports that are almost welcomed in later on. Like, so if one sport goes out, kickboxing might be accepted in, and it could be any year really after 2024, really it could be accepted in. So I think it's on the right track where it started off to where it is now, it's so much bigger.
For both of you, what's the target so in Sarajevo next week?
Oh, gold. Yeah.
I mean, like, if you're going to any competition not looking for gold or not, you know, working towards gold or even training towards gold, I think it's the very wrong mindset to go out to a major competition in, you know. Ian always puts the focus on performing your very, very best, you know, focus on performance, focus on, you know, leaving it all out there. I think when people focus too much on a specific, you know, result or whatever, they freeze. Whereas if you focus on performance, you perform the best that you possibly can, then, you know, obviously always gun for gold and obviously performing as well.
You have that in mind, yeah. Like, you have it, yeah. But I think, like, on the day, you just focus on your performance and what you can control.
Yeah.
And just enjoying it.
And breaking it down, then, is it one fight per day, or could you have multiple fights in a day? Like,
I don't think we have multiple fights. It's definitely one fight in a day, unless we're in two different sections, like doing two different disciplines. I'm pretty sure it's one fight a day.
Yeah, and that can be very challenging. I mean, it suits some people, but in terms of recovery, in terms of, let's say if we had, let's say the whole thing was on one day, in like a tournament style kind of thing, a lot can be said for a momentum. You know, you win your first fight, you win your second fight, you know, the ball is kind of rolling, you have a good, you have good momentum going to yourself. But whereas if you win your first fight, it's stop, cool down, go to bed, get up, eat properly, warm up again, start again, you know, and so on and so forth. So there's pros and cons to it, but I think it's fair to have it that way, you know, so you know you're fresh each and every day. You just have to focus on recovery now in between the fights and stuff like that, like, you know.
You could have mentioned the recovery there, Greg, as well, but talk to you about the physical exertion. Like, I've been watching you train tonight, kind of, and it's incredibly demanding physically, kind of. It's very high intensity, it's non-stop. Physically, how much does it take out of you? How much would one fight take out of you?
It depends on the fighter you're up against. I think if you're against, like, a person who just really likes to get in close and stay there, you have a fight. And there's no way around it. You're going to have to, like, get stuck in and get involved. And depending on the pace that they set and the pace that you set, it's down to the general pace of the fight, really. If you're against someone who's very cagey, if I fight someone cagey, I have to think a lot more than just fight. I have to really think my way through, but I don't expend as much energy. I only do it in quick bursts then. So really it comes down to who you fight and how they fight.
And technically then, would you try and impose your style on the fighter? Like, is that very important almost when the fight starts, that someone becomes a dominant fighter? Does it work like that? Kind of,
yeah.
That you don't let them dictate the kind of the style of the fight?
Yeah, you like, it's whoever sets the tempo and maybe holds the centre or fights to their strengths and imposes their style first, really, is going to have it a whole lot easier. Now, there's fighters that can adapt at an instant. There's kind of also one-trick ponies out there that fight a certain way, so once you get around that way, they don't have anything else. So it really comes down to who imposes their style first and who sticks to their game plan.
Funding. I know funding is, like, with minority sports like this, kind of, it's hard to get access to funding and stuff. And heading out to Sarajevo, I presume that most of this is self-funded again. And even for you, Greg, like, you're up and down from Douglas to skip in a couple of times a week, you know, probably out of your own pocket again. Mm. Is it you're dipping into your own pockets to kind of fund the dream?
Yeah, I mean, like, there's no easy way to say this, but it is tough. It can be tough on the funding side of things. Like, there's a lot of sacrifice that come with sports, and in terms of an amateur sport, funding and finances is one of those sacrifices. When kickboxing became Olympic recognized, as we were talking about earlier, there, it was a huge achievement for the brand, for the organization, because we're finally getting recognized. You know, if I turn to whoever or whatever party and say, can I receive some funding? Not with my hands out now begging or something like that, but, you know, like, if we request it in any form. Kickboxing isn't, let's say, in the mainstream. It's not. If you're a company and you want to fund an athlete, you want to see your athlete on Sky Sports or on RT even, or whichever, you know, with your brand. And
it doesn't get the same kind of coverage, really.
You know, we don't get the same kind of coverage. Although we put in professional hours, it's an amateur sport at the end of the day, and we don't get as much. So I think recognition, sports recognition, and funding kind of go hand in hand.
Yeah, and so in terms of, like, dedication, even from the three of us, like, We'll be training pretty much every day. I've got a little bab at home. She's 1 year old. I'd love to be seeing her tonight, but I'm not. I'm here training. Greg is up and down from Douglas, like, every chance he gets. And then there's Lily, and you probably got it out of Lily how dedicated she is and how much she trains and what she sacrifices. So, like, we feel like we definitely train professionally. Everything about it is professional except the money.
Again, I put out the call when I was talking to Lily earlier as well. Like, if any local business wants to get behind, like, if we've three local athletes going competing for Ireland on the world stage, you know, just get in touch. You know, we'll put you in touch with West Cork Kickboxing Club. Lads, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks very
best
much.
Best of luck in Sarajevo, and I wish you the best of luck.
Cheers.
Thank you very much.
Cheers.
Thank you.
Great stuff from the two lads there. And thanks for listening to this week's Star Sport podcast. We'll be back in the same channels again next week.
Thanks for listening to the Star Sport Podcast, number one for sport in West Cork.